Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The Bible talks about spiritual gifts, and men have come along and tried to assign the meaning to those spiritual gifts according to their imaginations, their speculations, their desire to try to promote sensationalism. They claim to have spiritual gifts like they have in the New Testament. And a lot of people just simply do not understand at all what the Bible teaches on the subject of spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts goes into the subject of the miraculous. And we don't profess to know everything we could know about the miraculous, because that's the working of God. But in our study, we cannot rely upon personal experiences or the experiences of others to tell us what is the revelation of Scripture. We have to rely upon the Scripture itself. And while we do obviously have to admit our limitations, friend, it's a fact. You don't have to know everything in order to know something. And we can know what the Bible teaches about spiritual gifts sufficiently as God has revealed these things to us, and to guide us into understanding how they were used, who used them, what was the purpose of them, just what were they. Now, when we talk about spiritual gifts, we're not going to be talking about the miracles that we read about in the Old Testament. There were a lot of miracles in the Old Testament, weren't they? There was the miracle of crossing the Red Sea. There is the miracle of the giving of the Ten Commandments. There is the miracle of the brazen serpent. There were healings that were taking place in the Old Testament. Even people were raised from the dead by the prophets Elijah and Elisha. Oh, there were many miracles of which we read in the Old Testament. But our study is going to be confined to the New Testament that speaks of spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts were not assigned to define the miracles of the Old Testament, but it had to do with some miraculous things of the New Testament. And God's Word does speak about spiritual gifts. And why are they so identified? Friend, the spiritual gifts were specific miraculous abilities that God, through the Holy Spirit, granted to some to use for certain purposes and to accomplish certain aims and goals. They're not called spiritual because it made those who possess this ability super Christians. That's not it. A lot of times people who claim today to have spiritual gifts, if you listen to them very long, you will recognize they proclaiming themselves to be super Christians above everybody else. And these spiritual gifts, they were not just the natural talents that people have and that abilities that they develop. They were not simply capacities that could be learned or developed. These were things that were given. These were gifts that were miraculously granted unto certain people. Abilities granted in the service of Christ. They were signs that signified something beyond the user of the gift. They were for the purpose of confirming and verifying the credentials of the messenger of the message, because the message was the revelation of God's truth. And those who preached that truth, they had that truth confirmed by the use of spiritual gifts. No, they were not for the purpose of creating sensationalism. They were not advertised for entertainment with the spectacular. They even went beyond showing compassion, though at times they did show compassion and sympathy and understanding. And we do not read that they were the means of salvation for saving souls, separate and apart from hearing, believing, and obeying the Word of God. It's just been amazing to me through the years how so many religious people try to come around with the idea of salvation, and they want to leave out the understanding and believing and obeying the Word of God. They want something that zaps them up. They want something special. They want something that nobody else has. They want something you don't ever read about. Well, friend, these spiritual gifts were not a part of God's plan of salvation that men must obey in order to be saved. And they were not special means of saving people from their sins. In fact, there are no instances recorded of the conversion of people in which the miraculous was an essential part of that conversion. The miraculous of which we read in some of the conversions was incidental to the way of salvation that God has planned. Now, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 20, it teaches that these signs were to be used by the apostles to confirm the preaching of the gospel. Now, you go and read that passage of Scripture. We read that the apostles went out, they performed these miraculous deeds, and confirmed the word. Well, did they do that? Well, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, says that the word has been confirmed. Now, it doesn't need to be confirmed again in the future. It's been confirmed already by the miraculous deeds and signs that those who were given these gifts executed and carried out. The record of the signs is for the purpose of proving the inspired testimony to be true. John chapter 20 says that many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life in his name. You see, Jesus was proved to be the Son of God by the signs and the wonders and the miracles that he performed. That's what Peter affirmed in Acts 2 and verse 22. They demonstrated the glory of God, 1 John 3 and verse 2. They demonstrated his power, Acts 3 and verse 12. They did not necessarily reflect a godly heart of the one who had that gift, nor did it mean that the one who exercised that gift was necessarily acceptable to God. We read about the man named Caiaphas. He was able to prophesy, John 11 and verse 49, but he was not acceptable in the sight of God. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, it provides us a list of 9 spiritual gifts. Other spiritual gifts are listed elsewhere, as in Ephesians chapter 4. And we do well not to be too dogmatic as just exactly what these gifts enabled the people to do and what these gifts included, because when the Bible doesn't explain a thing to us and doesn't tell us what it is, we do well to keep silent and not try to help God out to describe something that he hasn't seen fit to describe. For instance, the gift of wisdom. That was to gain wisdom miraculously, to apply the revelation of the will of God. This was a gift that would certainly be useful in determining whether one taught truth or error, or to how to use what was known. Friend, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. You know, a lot of people have knowledge, but they don't have the ability to use that knowledge in the proper way. They're lacking in wisdom. And sometimes people claim to have wisdom, but their wisdom is of the world, it's not of God. There was a miraculous given ability of wisdom, and that one could determine right and wrong and truth and error by that wisdom. Another spiritual gift that's mentioned is the gift of knowledge. Now, we study in order to have knowledge, and this is the way that we gain knowledge. We're to examine the Scriptures. We're to weigh and to measure and to meditate upon those things. We gain knowledge. In fact, the Apostle Peter teaches us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the things that we know, we have to learn them. But the gift of knowledge was to possess knowledge that was not normally learned. It was miraculously given to the individual. And there was the gift of faith. Now, this is not the faith that comes from hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17, but possibly something more. Faith that will remove mountains and obstacles. That was another of the spiritual gifts. And then we read of the gift of healing. Well, that seems easier to understand, doesn't it? And there were healings in the New Testament of the sick, and of the lame, and of the blind, and even the raising of the dead. There were certain specific miraculous works that were accomplished. And the gift of miracles. Well, it escapes me a little bit just what all might include in this, because all of these spiritual gifts were miraculous in nature. They were given by Almighty God. They were not learned or earned. And surely the first century Christians knew what it was to have the gift of miracles, even if we do not. But there is the gift of prophecy. And that was not only the ability to forecast the future. A lot of people think of prophecy only in terms of forecasting the future. But the Bible uses the term prophecy sometimes for teaching. And the gift of prophecy enabled a person to teach, but to teach infallibly and correctly the inspired Word of God. Those who were inspired of God and guided by the Holy Spirit, they were given this gift of prophecy so they could teach the truth in its completeness. And then we read about the gift to discern spirits. Well, that would enable one to distinguish a true teacher from a false teacher. And in 1 John 4:1, we're warned not to believe every teacher. We're not to believe somebody that just comes along and says something, and we have to measure it by the Word of God. This ability to discern the spirits was a supernatural power to judge the message that was delivered and to also determine the accuracy of the messenger that was delivering it. And then we speak of the gift of tongues. Oh, if ever there was a gift that was misunderstood in our present day, this is one. The gift of tongues is terribly misunderstood. Tongues was to enable a person to speak in an understandable language that was not normal and native and natural to the speaker. It was a language that he had not learned. It was not this babble. It was not this incoherent vowel grunts and sounds that people put out today. It was not some kind of explosion of ecstasy or any such thing as that. Tongues were to be used as a sign to the unbeliever. And they were used in the New Testament. And in our next lesson, as we continue to study about spiritual gifts, and this is what we plan for our lesson the next time, we're going to talk some more about this gift of tongues. Because there are a lot of people who claim they have this ability today, and all they do is rattle out vowel sounds, and it doesn't even make sense, and they don't even know what they're doing. Well, we're going to talk about this then in our next lesson. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.